Log Talk Radio.
Make no difference what you're going through. You're gonna make it. God's gonna see you through. Hold your head up. Put a smile on your face. This is another test.
Good evening and happy Friday, and welcome to the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast. This is Gernard Reed and coming to you live and excited that it's Friday. It's Jeremiah Speaks Friday. We're welcoming anyone who's on for the first time and joins us, and anyone who's been on every day this week, our first, our inaugural week on the radio for weeknight programs. We are on every night from 7 until 7:30 p.m., and we are glad to see that you're here with us. Certainly, if you've been here all week, we celebrate you. You're just on for the first time tonight, we celebrate you. We're looking for a night, a Friday night, where we can just celebrate everything that's good in the Lord. Our contact information, as always, we give that at the beginning and the end of the show. Contact information is email. You can reach us at goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. goteachandbaptize at gmail.com. Go teach and baptize at gmail.com. And then the telephone contact number is 804-313-7853. As I always say, we hope we give you something that's memorable, challenging, something to ponder, to study, to review. So keep your pen and pencil handy. It blesses the Jeremiah Speaks program when you have questions. We do offer our email address so that you can email questions to us about the program, about the broadcast, about the Bible. Because in the coming weeks, on Friday evening, we hope to answer questions that have been emailed to us or text during the course of the week and to take a shot at them. So when you do that, it gives me a chance to look up my answer and do all of that, because I'm not going to sit here and make like I know everything and make like God has given me all the answers and no one else has any. But we want to, on Friday nights, loosen up a little bit and tell a joke here and there, do some celebrating, and just close out the week. Then we'll come back to you on Sunday morning at 8:30. And this Sunday morning, I actually have been tapped to preach. And so we do have a word coming to you from Numbers, the book of Numbers, the Old Testament book, and also from the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. So on this evening, we salute you. And on this evening, we celebrate you. Let's get into the course of the Jeremiah Speaks program for the day, the Friday night program. And so I'll start with this evening the story of Jeremiah Speaks. Someone asked me recently, where did that actually come from? And during the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, as the hysteria was building, and every aspect of our culture was reacting to a rumor, the Wuhan, China problem, an epidemic, and then finally a pandemic, which thrust our nation into pandemonium, and then recession, our divided government began to work together for a minute. Merchants pulled together, schools were closed, and then the shutdown. The shutdown, which exempted the liquor stores and closed the churches. What would be the response of the churches on behalf of a terrified flock? What would be the response of the churches to a terrified nation that thought and rethought maybe there is a God after all? What would be the job of the church? And I personally saw myself as a student of Bible study for 40 years. Now was the time to put into action all the studying that we had done. And I just couldn't wait to see how the church would take on this pandemic. What was the response of the church conventions, the church conferences, church leadership, the church unions, and all across the country? What would be the response of the leadership for flocks everywhere? The response would be nothing. What would be the response of the churches on behalf of their terrified flock? I saw nothing. I looked at the televangelists and the renowned religious leaders, an example, Joel Osteen and Bishop T.D. Jakes. Nothing against their preaching, because they're fantastic preachers, and they do reach people all over the globe. Their viewership and support from followers increased exponentially during the pandemic when people were stricken and at home, but nothing. As I listened to the polished sermon, and all I heard was the same inspiration as before the pandemic, I saw nothing to follow as no pandemic leader emerged. No one organized National Days of Prayer or models for the local church. You know, the church is not the building, but the people. However, both the building and the people appeared to be shut down. Even in the midst of civil unrest and protests primarily, where was the church? The BLM movement literally courted church members, but despised organized religion. I began to speak out to anyone who would listen. I published some material on social media regarding such things as economics 101. I made a C in economics in college, and many articles about the church. Across social media, I saw Psalm 91 posted constantly. People really believed that they would be singularly protected from a non-discriminate pandemic merely because they reposted a psalm which they contextually misunderstood. The people of God were hurting. All people were hurting. Where was the church? Who would emerge to decry idolatry, false teaching, and false prophecy? No one, Lord. Where was the church? I hope I'm not boring you on this evening, because I just merely want to speak about where this ministry came from. It was a very frustrating time for me, because I believe the Lord gave me insight to see that there was nothing going on much. And the church was getting what it could, complaining about being closed, and not really blessing its membership or leading souls to Christ. I thought that when we were confronted with the pandemic, souls would cry, what must I do to be saved? But if they cried it, they weren't really getting any help. I was frustrated and fasting for Lent. Really, I was just not eating. My daily prayers were short, and I stopped reading my Bible. Can I tell the truth? Can I be a witness here? I was depressed. One day I prayed and promised the Holy Spirit that I would go home at lunchtime and read my Bible. I began to read Galatians out loud. It was so good. Where had this masterpiece been all my life? I never knew all this was in Galatians. Phone rang. A strange number. I thought to answer, but I said, no, I'm reading Galatians. As the phone rang, the Holy Spirit, who was ministering to me through this newly found book of Galatians, said, get up and answer the phone. A lady introduced herself and said to me, Mr. Reed, the president of the Lac Carre Baptist Foreign Mission Convention, the Reverend Dr. Gregory Jackson, would like to call you. Is now a good time? I had not been a member of Lac Carre for 4 to 5 years, and I have just rediscovered the book of Galatians. But I said, okay. Sure enough, this international giant, one of those whom I had been criticizing, the Reverend Dr. Gregory Jackson called. He said his call was threefold. As I could imagine, Lac Carre was sailing in uncharted waters with a commitment to minister to nearly 24 foreign nations, such as India, Nigeria, South Africa, Haiti, Liberia, etc. Needs were increasing as numbers dwindling. In the office, they were reaching out to former members for help, former members such as myself. Really? Me? And my little bit of dollars, which I had ceased giving, someone noticed? And the first question was, first of the threefold was, could I pledge to give at least $25 a month? Yes. And I am the vice moderator of the local Baptist convention, and I can promise at least level funding from our convention. Number two, President Jackson said, I would like to pray for you in your current endeavors, Reverend Reed. What do you desire in prayer? So since he asked, I told him what I was wrestling with, and he prayed for me. And then the third thing is, Reverend Reed, would you please pray for me, said Dr. Jackson. I prayed to for the light carry through leader to for that leader to become a beacon of light in the darkness. I prayed that Dr. Jackson and the light carry team would emerge as leaders and truth tellers time of adversity. This is my testimony. This is the way it happened. And then I spoke with my friends Thomas and Pastor Brooke Soren. One hour we talked, and I shared the dynamic testimony. Pastor Brooke said, follow the Holy Spirit. He has called you to be that voice. I counted that I would only be like Jeremiah. While I'm legitimate, nobody would listen to me, as uncredentialed as I am. We prayed on that Friday. By Monday, Jeremiah Speaks was born. Called to address idolatry in the church, not in the world, but in the church. Locally, I championed the mobs who pulled down the Civil War monuments that were dedicated to defeated generals, not because of racial injustice, but because they were monuments to men, and we had become so acclimated and accustomed to their presence that we didn't even notice the worship that they involved. On social media daily, I challenged Christians to shine and make this our greatest hour. I fully expected rejection. I opened the Jeremiah Speaks Facebook page and invited every minister I could think of. Within the year, most of them had unfriended me. Jeremiah was a unique prophet. He was called from his mother's womb, well-educated, and commonly recognized throughout Judah as a prophet of God. However, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because no one appeared to receive his message. That rings true today, as we rarely hear reference to more than one verse of the book Jeremiah wrote called Lamentations. This is my testimony. I know it's long, but I hope it's going somewhere. And that's where Jeremiah Speaks came from. So here we are. Jeremiah Speaks sent by God to preach and to teach the authority of the church. Many won't listen. Clergy despise me when I challenge them to be shepherds rather than hirelings. They get the personal shots to the chin when I openly criticize the weightless sermons cluttering Zoom and Facebook. In the midst of the pandemic, why are we in the pulpit telling Old Testament stories to listeners who are terrified of the plague, listeners who trust the preacher but did not yet get the traditional funeral dinner or traditional funeral or visitations when their family members died, listeners who had recovered physically from COVID-19 but wore a scarlet C around their neck and they were shunned and slandered because they were victims of the disease which killed over a million people in this country? How does the church compensate? On Sunday morning, the trustees and the deacon, listen to this, I heard this on the radio. On Sunday mornings, the trustees and the deacons will be outside the church from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. with a large trash can, collecting your tithes and offerings, or you may mail your offerings too. No statement about how the church can serve the community or look out for its members, standing outside the church with a trash can because they're afraid for you to touch them or get near them because you might give them the virus. Is that what Jesus would have done? Which one of the 12 would have been holding the trash can? I think this is ridiculous. Jeremiah Speaks needs to say something about it. Jeremiah Speaks endeavors to tell the truth in a society which respects lies. I said it, meant it, here to represent it. We live in a society that would rather have you lie to them than give them a hint about the truth. And then we met Apostle Margie Mercer, who took a chance and invited this ministry to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. We are here on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Monday on this program, Monday is missionary or testimony Monday. Tuesday is preaching. Wednesday is Bible study. Thursday is Sunday school. And Friday is Jeremiah Speaks Special. Tonight is Friday night. And in September, you know what that means. Moving on to the nature of the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, tonight is Friday night. Somebody work with me now if you can. And Friday night in September, you know what that means. Friday night football. Friday night football all over this area. Folk are playing football. And so tonight, the question that's before you, I said we're going to have a good time. I gave my testimony. Those that didn't fall asleep, I wish you woke up and said hallelujah. This is a broadcast that's dedicated to make change, challenge folk. I don't care who you are, to challenge you. We'll lose listeners because they don't like the views of this program. The views of this program do not necessarily represent the fivefold ministry. But the question for tonight is, a football team has a coach, a chaplain, or a captain who leads the team in prayer before the game? So the question for tonight is, what do they pray for? The team huddles down. The game starts at 7:50. They take the helmets off, fall to one knee, everybody goes quiet, and the captain or the coach, or in many cases the chaplain, leads the team in prayer. This has come under fire in recent years, but some folks said, I don't believe a team supported by public funds should be allowed to say a sectarian prayer on the ball field in public is not right. And so some of these cases have gone to state Supreme Courts, and in many cases, the school has won the right to pray before the game. So now the question tonight, and Jeremiah Speaks, is what do they pray for? Do they pray to win? Does God see winning or losing as we do? Would God actually humble himself to get involved with a sports, the ball game, to help one team win because they ask him? Well, on Wednesday night, talking about contextual Bible study, I mentioned this verse. This verse is found in the Upon This Rock I Will Build My Church chapter, the 16th chapter of Matthew, but it's also found in the church chapter. That's the 18th chapter of Matthew. And it's written the same way both times, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The church that's in line, lined up, aligned with Jesus Christ, has the power on earth to bind things on behalf of heaven. That's my calling, is the authority of the church. The church that's in sync, on one accord, all arrows pointing in the same direction, that church can bind something on earth, and it's honored in heaven. If that church determines, that church not being a building, not being the pastor, but being called out believers, two or three. It says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. If two shall agree as to touching anything on earth, I will give it to them. The Bible is clear that when the church is working with the church, hand in hand, lockstep, all arrows pointing in the same direction, whatever that church binds on earth shall be bound in heaven. So let's say that this is St. Peter High School, and the team is comprised of 5 coaches and 40 young men who love the Lord. They are well-versed in Matthew 18:19, if two shall agree as to touching anything on earth, it shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Or Matthew 18:18, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. 45 believers have come together with a singular request. Lord, please give us the victory. Is God faithful and just to give the victory to this church, this group of believers, because they've come together on one accord, ask for only one thing? All 45 people are asking for one thing. They've prepared themselves and practiced all week for this game. They've obeyed the rules. They've been in the classroom. They've done all this. Have they not earned the right to be the church that Christ has called them to be? And if they're the church that Christ has called them to be, are they not able to command that they win this game? Does winning football games align with the word of God and the mission of the church? Does the mission of the church support winning a football game? So the question tonight is, what does that chaplain, that coach, or that captain pray for when the team huddles 10 minutes before the game for prayer? I don't hear anybody answering me at home. Have I stumped everybody? I'll give you a second to think about it. Okay, I used that second to drink some hot tea. Actually, it was pretty good. I'll give you another second to think about it. Who made that tea? So, does winning football games align with the Word of God and the mission of the church? And then my friend, Reverend Tony Blue, my brother in the gospel, says, the Holy Spirit will only give you what you've given him. Lord, have mercy. Meaning that in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times of taking a final exam, if you didn't study, if you didn't go to class, and you didn't put anything in, you can pray all night long, but the Holy Ghost is not going to bring anything out. He will only bring out what you put in. That's what my friend, Reverend Tony Blue, says. So if we have not worked hard in practice, we cannot expect to win the game. But will God give a football team a game victory? Should we ask God to win games? Boy, I've asked a lot of questions here, but really only have one question on the table. I'm still asking you, what does that captain, does that chaplain, what does that coach pray for? Will God give a football team a game victory? Should we ask God to win? Some say no, you shouldn't be asking God to win because that's not scriptural. The game is just a game, and it's not something that's supported by scripture or the actions of Jesus. Well, if this game is not representative of God and worthy of that prayer, why are we letting our children play it? Don't y'all all get silent at the same time? My question is, if the game is not scriptural, and if the game is not representative of who we are, then why are we playing the game in the first place? All of this I need to know the answers to before I could project an answer of what the chaplain, what the captain, what the coach would be praying for. Now, some say, well, pray that no one gets injured. Doesn't that seem to go along the same line? Pray that they play, that they play fair. We've practiced. We've stretched. We've worked out to keep from getting injured. We've learned the rules. We've learned the rules of conduct. We've observed and been obedient of those. Isn't that the same thing as winning? But then the answer that I propose, the answer that Jeremiah Speaks Ministry presents, the answer I have is include the Holy Spirit in all aspects of our lives. I don't care where we are, who we are, how we live. The goal is to include the Holy Spirit in all aspects of our lives. What is then winning and losing? Each prayer is personal. Rule out nothing which is guided by the Holy Spirit, who will guide us into all truth. One of the descriptions of who the Holy Spirit will be when he's revealed unto men is Jesus said that he will guide us into all truth. Our truth may be winning this game tonight, but maybe our truth. My truth for the moment, that foolishness that people say now, but the truth is the Holy Spirit. Jesus ain't nothing but the truth. The truth that Jesus may have for us could be for winning the game tonight. If that's the truth he has for me, the least I can do is ask him for it and ask his confirmation on it. So then somebody says, oh, that's not much of an answer. That's a cheap answer. That's a get-out answer. But then I put this before you. I have a partner, Pastor Johnson, and we've been doing a Lenten fast together for 16 years. Actually, he's been doing it 17 and 16 for me. And we get together, we discuss some of the things we run across and challenges that we face during the course of this Lenten fast. And so to fast for a period of 6 days at a time, it takes some training, some learning, some education. In other words, you can't be ignorant and do that. So I'm not saying that I'm so smart, but I think Pastor Johnson is saying that you don't take this lightly and just not eat, but 6 days out of 46. And so, but he says, you know, both of us tend to gain weight during the other parts of the year. And so he was telling somebody, and he said, this happens every year during the fast. He was telling somebody about how much weight he had lost during the 40 days of fasting. And then every time he'll get someone to give him a lecture and tell him that, you know, you're not supposed to fast to lose weight. And his response is, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. The Bible says, you ain't supposed to, fasting ain't a diet. It's not a weight loss plan. And so his answer is, what is my problem is my weight. So God would not allow me to fast to lose weight if my problem is my weight. And so that stops us in our shoes, and we stop and think, we need to watch what we say sometimes because it makes absolutely no sense. So then when we come back to this, if my issue is winning a game, not every game, but winning a game, said to God, wouldn't I ask God to bless me with this thing that I spent the previous 5 days working out for, studying film for, because high schoolers do film now, studying film for, working out for some more, running the other side's plays, practice, throwing a few trick plays. Now I am mentally and psychologically, I'm ready for tonight's game, and I'm afraid to ask the Lord to help me win. I'm not asking for magic because I put the time in. I'm not asking God to curse the other team. I'm asking God to bless me to be all that I can be and all that I've trained for. Maybe it is okay to ask him to win if I put the time in. Anyhow, that's my proposal and challenge before you. The email is go teach and baptize, all one word spelled out, goteachandbaptize@gmail.com. The phone number is 804-313-7853. I put that challenge before you tonight, and I said we'll have a few questions next Friday that we'll kick around, and send me some questions. Send me some things that you're haggling with, and we'll talk about it. We're going to have a good time as well. I'm going to invite my friend James to come on now, and James is going to loosen up the load a little bit more. It's been a four-day week for a lot of people, and it's been excellent weather where I am. It's a cool breeze, and this morning when I arose, it was 62 degrees. It was a beautiful full moon out last night, and you could just go out there and walk around and no mosquitoes and anything. It's just been good this week. So James is going to come on and just, you know, tell you a little joke and make things a little better. So work with him if you can. Loosen up. It's okay for a Christian to laugh. And so, James, come on. Come on and tell a joke. So, James, first time on the broadcast. Tell a joke.
All right. I'd like to say good evening to everyone. And so a man and his friend was out in the woods hunting. And all of a sudden, the friend fell down. And he fell down and was not moving, nor was he breathing. And when he checked him, he seen his eyes had glazed over, and he looked like he was gone. So the hunter whipped out his cell phone, and he called 911, and he told the people on 911, he said, I think my friend is dead. Yeah, I believe he's dead. I believe he done passed out and died. The woman said, calm down, sir. First, let's make sure that he's dead. He said, okay. And then it got really quiet. And it got really quiet. Then all of a sudden we heard, bam! Then the guy comes back to the phone. He said, okay, he's dead. What you want me to do now? He even shot him. They didn't mean for him.
Thank you, James. We appreciate that to lighten the mood tonight. And Jeremiah Speaks, we'll be back on the air at 8:30 on Sunday morning. We hope to hear you there with the Word of God. And then we're going to do this all over again next week. Testimony Monday and Tuesday preaching, Wednesday Bible study, Thursday Sunday school lesson, and Friday night, who knows. But we may have James back on here if he has a good week. This is the Jeremiah Speaks broadcast, part of and partner with the Fivefold Ministry and the glorious and wonderful and Apostle Margie Mercer. So we are turning it now over as we go into the Fivefold Ministry. May God bless and keep you. Have a wonderful weekend. Send me some feedback. Amen.
God, God bless. God, God bless. Come on, Derek. God bless. Yes, isn't that beautiful to know that God's got a blessing with my name on it? God bless you. You just heard from Norman Hutchins, and God's got a blessing with your name on it. You know, we have to be so positive to know that we are favored by God, we are loved by God, and that we have the very presence and essence of His Holy Spirit. You know, as we heard earlier, you know, you have worked hard all through the week. You just want to sit back and relax and abase yourself. We like to encourage you to listen to our broadcast each week, Monday through Fridays. We would love for you to call in and just enjoy listening to the sounds of Zion. As I said before, this is our disclaimer that we don't own the rights to the music. We try to promote the artists and to get you to buy those CDs. You know, God has touched so many people to sing beautiful melodies of Zion. And truly, we love the Lord. So let us just sit back and relax. We just had a long, busy week, and we just want to enjoy each and every day that we are in the land of the living. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and let us start off a little bit just listening to C.C. Whining, Never Lost. God bless you. to have that attitude that God can do all things but fail. We have to believe God's word and believe for it. I'll say it again to you that you got to believe on the word of God and to know that he can do all things. You know, in my prayer today, in my quiet time with God, I said, God, what would you like me to talk to your people about on this time on the radio? And, you know, the Lord put in my spirit that so many of you are asking him the question, why? You have so many questions in your mind about what's happening in this world, in different nations, and what's going on right there in your community. You have so many questions. But God wants us to have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, that God can do anything but fail. If God can't do it, then it can't be done. True, sometimes a situation looks hopeless. True, it looks like we at the end of that storm, but you got to believe that God is almighty and he can do all things. Yes, we have questions, even the best of us, we have questions about our life, about our past or things that has happened to us, but you got to put those things behind you. You know, I was talking to my God dad, Apostle Lockery, this week. And he said the most profound thing. I never thought about that. He said that we are to, not only when we forgive, that we got to forget. Because as we hold on to things that have happened to us in our past, if we hold on to things where people are naysayers or have even tried to mark our destiny and to say what we can and cannot do, it will grieve our spirit, or even to some folks, it may poison your mind to believe that what they said are true. Who are they to God? Who are they to judge? Who are they to give an opinion about the creation that God has made? God forbid. You know, I was talking to my son to encourage him because he was in my spirit. And he said, Ma, I see so many people asking me as a young black man that I should have been in jail or I should have been dead because of my friends that I was around. He said, but you know, Mom, you and Dad spoke to me. You have raised me. And, of course, he was raised in a church as well. And he went on and finished college with a 3.0. But in his mind, that poison or that negativity or that seed was still there. And I told my son, I said, let me tell you something. You have proved to people that they are wrong so many times that you ask, why do things go wrong? Because people have the power in their tongue to kill and to destroy. Here was a young man, a young black man, that had hope through the words of God, through his parents, that he can do all things but fail. But then he has administrators and teachers or principals or neighbors or even strangers that judged him from the outward appearance of who he is as a man, but also by the color of his race, God forbid, and that his soul was poisoned. He never told me that people expect him to fail. And I wish I had known that so that I could just give him that hug and to tell him that the devil is a liar, because that will give worration. That will have questions that why are things the way they are? Then you wonder, why do young people act the way that they do and they are in jail? You may have a question, and I'm going to use this as an example, but hold on. I'm going to give you my example in just a minute. I want to play one of my favorite songs by Nathaniel Basie, and also I would like you to hear this song because truly God is so good, and that I hope it will encourage the young people today. They do not have a heaven or hell to put you in or to mock you and say what you are capable of doing, whether you're white, black, Chinese, male, female. Who are they? Did they wake you up in the morning and put breath in your body? No, they did not. So I just want to share a story that I had preached about in a church. And I know, I think about Reverend Reed when I said preach. I know he wanted to hear that thing. And that God put it on my heart that when you look at these young people, you wonder, why are things the way they are in our community, in our streets, in our neighborhood, in the world? But we're going to look at just a little small example. But again, you're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Each week we will be on the air, even on our Sundays morning. We want to exhort, edify, and encourage you through the word of God, because you are God's beloved. Yes, you are. So let us go ahead and just sit back and abase ourselves, and let's think about, why do we have so many questions to God when we really need to see what caused the things that's happening in our earth, and we want to ask God the question? God forbid. Let us listen to this tune right here. Amen. God bless you.
You are mine, God. Mine, Lord. Not for words trying to describe you. Elohim, Elyon, Aleph, Elyon.
Yes, I want to stop right there. What he said is so profound. If God has said it, he can make sure that it comes to pass. He said that we are made in his image, and everything he made is good. That means that inside of you that you have the likeness of God, you have the character of God, you have God, some of his DNA, you have the breath of God, and he have left his Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you, to guide you to all spiritual truth. You are special, and you have to believe that thing for yourself, regardless what people says. You know, when I was listening to this tune by Nathaniel Bassey, you look at this young man, and he looked like a typical young black teenager or young man that's in his early 30s, and there's nothing extraordinary about him, but his voice is so profound. You know, the strength in his words and in his character, in his belief. You know, that's the fight that's in some of the young people, that they can say, yes, I can. I remember when I was in seminary under Apostle Montgomery, and that was our motto, yes, I can. You know, the question you may have, God, is why are some of the things happening that they happen? Why are so many youth are in jail? What's the problem? And I heard one of the mothers say, you know, my son was locked up for stealing. This one was locked up for drugs. This one was out hanging in the street. And being a social worker for 12 years, I happened to look at some of the stories of the kids that were my clients that I was in charge of. And I looked at their history, and I said, oh, my God, ever since this child was born, that his mother, here he's 2 years old going into a store, and he said, Ma, I want some chips. I want potato chips. I want candy. And because he's so little and they couldn't see him behind the counter, the mother would say, go ahead and get them chips. Go ahead, walk out the store. Go ahead, get them, get them, get them, get them. The little boy didn't know that his mother was teaching him how to steal. Or you see a little girl and she said, Ma, I want some money. I want some money. I want to go to the store. I want this. I want that. She said, just a minute. Daddy was asleep, and Mom would go in there, God forbid, go into that pocketbook of her husband and get that money and give it to her daughter, and her daughter saw her stole from her husband. You see sometimes you see children that they just out in the street because they hungry. They're going to the store to steal. And you'll be wondering to yourself, the parents are responsible to teach the children. So when I did jail ministry and I was dealing at the prison for men, I heard the story that, you know, my mom, you know, and my dad, they were fighting. So I had to fend for myself at a young age. I would cry myself to sleep. Young men was taught to beat on their wives because they saw their dad beat their moms. We saw others. It's very sad that, you know, kids that were molested because there was no supervision or protection for the children, so they grew up to know about rape. Even some, like, you know, it's very sad that was taught so many things that was the ill in this world. So when these little kids grew up, who knew how to steal, manipulate, con, and plus the parents, you know, watch the Western, watch TV. And what is it? It's nothing but Westerns were on the TV, the shoot 'em ups. And now you see a lot of things with gang violence and different TV shows with guns and all type of machine guns in their hands and drive-by. It's very sad that they imitate what they have been taught as children. They imitate what they see on TV. But where were the parents? The same ones said, my son is in jail. I said, what are you in jail for? Stealing? And I said to myself, I wonder what was taught to him. Oh, my daughter, she out there prostituting. She's out there selling herself. And I asked the question. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, since I'm the social worker, I said, what's the problem? I'm on drugs. I said, oh, okay, so where were your kids? They was in the house. They sold me all drugs. They would help take care of me. I said, oh, okay. So you know, telling what happened to that boy or that girl while mommy was drunk or high or daddy was off doing his thing, being a rolling stone, that, hey, that things happen to children that when they grew up to be adults, they were taught to do things that's not in the best interest of themselves. But now they are labeled as society as criminals. Their own family talks about them and put them down, but they was victims as children by their own family members. They have labels because this person, oh, they was turned out, but it was the uncles and cousins and nephews who did the turning out. Yes, it is a hard reality, but when you ask God the question, so many questions you ask our fathers, but did you think that those problems that you ask in God, why so much crime? Well, what did you do in raising your children to prevent the crime? What was you taught that you need to change that situation? You know, when I looked at my own self and I was like, you know, what is some of the problems that's in my own life? I looked at myself, a mirror in the wall. I said, self, what is your problem? And my father abandoned my mother and left her pregnant to raise a child on her own. But I was determined, even as a young woman before I had kids, that when I got married or had children, I would not abandon them or leave them in any type of situation. Yes, a couple of us, including myself, was molested or abused, but I was determined that I was going to protect my child from this type of abuse. The question is, sometimes we can't ask God why, but how did this happen? Where were the parents? Where was the grandparents? Where were the supervision for our youth? Is it fair that now we see someone that's locked up in jail? Is it fair to say that this happened because of this or that? What part that we play to shape our America, to shape our community, to shape our children, to shape our neighborhood, to shape even the very lives that we live? What have we done to make things different, positive, hopeful, and long-suffering, that God can do anything but fail? I told my son that this is people's perception of who you are, but who you are, that you are David. You're made in the image of God. You're a man of God. You have a backbone. You are favored. You elect. Even your name, David, means you're a king. I told him what my godfather said to me. Forget about those things that were said. Forgive and forget. Forget those things that's behind you. So I want to encourage you tonight, when you ask God those questions, why, when you want to know all those things that you come to God and talk about, so much that's going on in this world, you think about it. Did not God say in his word, do not eat certain food with the hoof, with the club feet? Did not he say, do not eat bats, dogs, cats, rats, rodents? But then we see COVID-19. Did God say that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves? But then we see that we got an attitude because we can't park in a parking spot, or that somebody is near our house, or they got the music too loud, minding their business, and we're looking out the window, minding their business. So a lot of times when we go to God and we got a lot of questions and we want to know why, just think about it. Why ask God and not ask yourself, what part did you play? God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, and I want to listen to this positive young man that is singing a beautiful song unto Zion, that God is able to do anything but fail. Ask yourself the question, what part did you play? Amen. To pray now, if you would just be in agreement with me at this time. Heavenly Father, as we come to you as humbly as we know how, yes, we have a lot of questions for all the ills that we see in this earth. God, that we know that we are the problem, that there are things that we have not been conscious of, and some of us did nothing about. So, God, I'm asking that you will come into our hearts, that where our hearts are stony, that, Father, we will have love. Where our mind is not on self-improvement to help others and treat others the way that we want to be treated in love. God, give us the consciousness that we need so that we can make a difference in this world, in this community, and show people that we are the reflection of Christ. Father, help us to exalt, edify, and encourage. Help us, God, to say things out of a mouth of love, not to condemn, to judge, to criticize, to bite, to gossip, to point fingers, to blame. But, God, see ourselves that nobody is perfect but Jesus, and we need to repent because we don't have a heaven or hell to put no person in, including the young people in this earth. God, help the young people. Help to give them hope. Give them opportunity. Give them scholarships, God. Help them to go to school and feel good about themselves. There's so much violence and fighting in the school. Help them to be strong. Father, we pray against those that's taking guns to school, angry at the teachers, angry at the classmates, shooting up our schools because mommy is not there. Daddy is not there. The principals, the teachers, nobody is there, not even a police officer. Hey, hallelujah, that will make a difference and give us hope. Father, take away the hatred in heart, in men's heart. Father, stop it before they kill another child in the school. Good God Almighty. Father, we ask and Lord that the black race, the white race, the Italian race, all races of this world, give them hope that we need to dwell together in love and peace. Help us to stop being so narrow-minded and worry about things that's not important and not our business. Oh, God, regulate in us a clean heart, a clean spirit, a clean attitude. Let us exalt, edify, and encourage the body of Christ. Good God Almighty. Father, we thank you tonight for the broadcast. We thank you tonight, Father, that you put in my heart that we ask so many questions. Why are things the way that they are? And only we can make that difference. God, thank you again as you stir up the gifts inside of us. Give us the eyes of Christ that we can see people the way that you see us. As a young man has sung tonight, Father, that there's good and that you can see the hope and love. And we can walk past strangers and say, praise the Lord, God loves you. You're special today. Yes. Help us, Father, to exalt each other in the name of Jesus, in the body of Christ. Oh, God, help us to be focused on the things that's about you, God. God, stir up the gifts inside of us and protect us, including our young people, in our going out and in our coming in. Give them hope. Some of them are scared to go to school. Some of them are scared to go to college. But, Father, cover them that we all on one accord. You said where there's two or three are gathered, God, in the midst. You said if we can believe it, we can receive it. Well, God, we speak now in the atmosphere. We speak, God, that all the violence in the school will cease and diminish and it will cut down. Good God Almighty. We speak to every school, every schoolroom. We speak to the people that's going back and forth on their journey. All this gang violence, God, we reach out and say, have mercy, God. Abba, Father, we're reaching out to you. Oh, God, bind up the hand of the adversary and loose Michael and Gabriel that we can have hope in the middle of our storm. Oh, God, we thank you again. We thank you again, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to call on your name. As we ask so many questions, God, let us see that we have the answers to our own questions. If we would change our outlook, our confession with our mouth, our heart, and our being and our souls to be a better human being that can fix each nation and groups of people. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to encourage you again to listen to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. You can hear us each week as well as on Sundays. And we want to close out again to say, God bless you. You are God's beloved, and you are special. Remember, don't condemn nobody, but exhort, edify, and encourage. And see good not only in yourself, but in those around you. Amen.